Okay, this morning I chose the topic for us to talk about and to look into. We're going to talk about King David. King David. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. Now, what we know about King David is that he has been called a man after God's own heart. But we also know that David committed one of the greatest sins, I guess if you could call one of the greatest sins, of committing murder. He committed murder and adultery. But God still used him. And God called him a man after his own heart. Who has Acts 13, verse 22? If you could read that out.
After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do."
Okay. And this is God's words. So we can see from God's word that God himself said that David was a man after his own heart because he would do everything that God wanted him to do. Of course, God didn't want him to commit sin. But we think sometimes we, as in a people, Brother Pastor, like I say, when he's saying we, he's not talking about us, he's talking about other people and himself, but I'm going to include us as humans, because nobody's perfect, and we may commit sin. I like to say, include in my prayers, ask the Lord to forgive us of sins that we commit knowingly and sins that we commit unknowingly. We don't intend to commit sin, not intentionally. Especially since we took on Christ. We strive each day to try to do our best not to sin. But because we are human and because we're not perfect, we're going to still sin. And some things we do are intentional. There's no two ways about it. It's not something you want to admit. It may be not something you want to talk about. But because we are human, when people do something to us to get us upset and angry, our first instinct is to retaliate, to get even. But because we wear Christ, we have to put ourselves in check and ask God to help us to have forgiveness. One of the hardest things to do is to forgive somebody when they have really made you angry, upset, did something to you. And it's hard to say, "I'm going to leave it, put it in the Lord's hand, and let the Lord have it." We strive to do that all the time. But yes, it's a hard thing to do. Now, I don't say that. You got a comment? Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say that David is the perfect example of how we as Christians should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he committed a lot of sin, but he always stood good for better word. He realized what he had done wrong. He admitted it. He never tried to push it off or whatever. He admitted to it, and he would go to God and ask for forgiveness. That's why I like him so much.
Okay.
David is somebody that we could use for an example on how we should be.
Very good. I'm hoping that's what we'll be able to get out of this lesson, seeing his example and what he did, and we can learn from that to do some of the similar things. But as I was saying, that's a good point. We're gonna get into that more. As I was saying, though, we commit sins. We don't mean to, but sometimes, in the heat of the moment, so to speak, we we do things and we go back and we repent. We ask God for forgiveness that you said that David did. But sometimes our emotions get us so caught up, we don't readily ask for forgiveness. And we are quite satisfied with what we might have said or done and think that it was justified because of what was done to us. But in looking at this lesson, we want to bring out the point of how we should try to pattern ourselves at trying not to sin, and then when we do sin, go to God for repentance, true repentance, and not just try to cover it up as David did, but in the end he did try to go to God and ask forgiveness for it. Now, these are some of the characteristics in the book of Psalms, which David had a great deal of writing himself about. He wrote about himself, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He talked about himself and his situation, so we can see from the fact that he was not a perfect person, which we know he's not perfect anyway, but nobody is that walks the face of the earth. But the fact that he had some good times, he had some successful events, he had some times that was low time in his life, and he made plenty of mistakes, as all human beings do. Now, we're going to take a look at the characteristics of what was involved in David, or what characteristics David possessed that made God say that he was a man after his own heart. One of the characteristics that David had, he had absolute faith in God. Now, we say every day, oh yeah, we believe in God. We know there is a God. We believe in God. But sometimes do we show that in the way in which we live, that we believe? We can say a lot out of our mouth, but our actions say so much more than what our words say. Now, David, we're not going to look at this portion, but I'm going to let you know that in the book of Samuel, in chapter 17, it tells us about the time that David was getting ready to fight Goliath. And he didn't mind going up against Goliath because he had absolute faith in God. Now, how did he just didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, yeah, I got absolute faith in God. Oh, I realize there is a God. Well, God is in control of everything. He's going to cover me. He's going to protect me. He had to go through some events in order to realize that God was on his side and God had his back, and he could do anything as long as God was with him. The events that took place before that time was when he fought the lion and he fought the bear. Those events helped him realize that God was in control of everything, and if he could protect him against a ferocious lion and a great bear, surely he could protect him against this Philistine that was causing so much problem. It was when we look at, what do I have here, in verse number 37 of 1 Samuel, it tells us that what David said to Saul, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So that shows us that he had that faith in God, and he knew that God would deliver him from whatever problem that he would get himself in. But to face this Philistine, it gave him the courage and the confidence that he needed. And he didn't go out there shaking or nervous. He was confident that he was going to take this Philistine down, this big Goliath of a man. He was going to take him down where all the rest of the soldiers feared him and wouldn't even go out there, not even Saul himself. Now, that's what made him fearless. So when we go through something, sometimes, and if you haven't experienced it already, you will at some point in your life be faced with a situation where you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You pray and you ask God to help deliver you through this situation, whether it be a pressing bill, whether it be a sickness you may have, whether it be, God forbid, you be in a situation where you don't know where your next paycheck coming from or whatever the situation may be. You pray to God for deliverance. When he delivers you from that situation, this is what should help you build your faith and give you the confidence in knowing that if he took care of you through that obstacle, he would take care of you through the next. Now, what we face and what the devil uses against us so much is because the day and time in which we live, we want everything quick. Whatever the situation, as soon as the problem arises, we want to take care of it right then. You know, if whatever comes up, you got to think about it. You want to be able to come up with a solution right then. If that don't work, you got plan B, and that's going to work. And God forbid you have a plan C, but one of those plans is going to work, so everything going to be all right within a few minutes. We have to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord, because it's all in his time, and whatever he says and where he's going to work it. And 9 times out of 10, when the Lord brings you through that, it's not going to be any way that you thought about or how you figured it was going to come out. It's the way that he wants it to come out for your benefit that's far better than what you would have thought of. So this is what helps build our faith in God, so we can have absolute faith like David did. Now, at any time you got comments, feel free to jump right in, because this is a discussion. next thing, we can look at one of the characteristics that David possessed was he absolutely loved God's laws. Now, let's look at Psalms 119, verse 47 and 48. This is what what he possessed. He knew that God's laws was what God wanted us to live by. And sometimes, as we see today, what God wants may not necessarily be what we want. One of the most, I'm not going to say it's one of the most, but let's really just say one of the laws that God commands us to do is to love thy neighbor. It's kind of hard to love your neighbor when your neighbor doesn't have the same kind of interest that you have. I don't know about you guys, but I got some neighbors that sometimes they like to play loud music late at night, early in the morning, whether it be in their car or in their house. They come down the street, and they music so loud, my windows are rattling. I can't go out and say something to them, because I know that's going to cause a confrontation that's not going to come out favorable for me, probably. Because even if it went over well, the conversation, knowing people as they are, he's going to do it again and maybe turn it up louder this time. And I know that from experience. It's almost like you ever pull up behind a person that's in the street, blocking the street. If you go to blowing the horn, that just makes them sit there that much longer. If you wait and they see you, they may pull over. Or they may just wave you on by when the traffic is not coming. But sometimes when you address people and the way in which you address people, especially if you agitated yourself, that gives the devil opportunity to shine, and he's going to get into the other person, and it's going to make the situation even worse than it was from the beginning. Yes?
Love's an
action. Mm-hmm.
You can say, I love you all day long, but it really doesn't mean a whole lot until you show it.
Yes.
That's one thing about the relationship we have with God. To David understood that.
Mm-hmm.
The love that God showed David throughout his whole life, of protecting him and always there for him and stuff like that, David realized that he needed to be showing in action his love back to God. And that's why he loved his commandments, because it gave him an opportunity to show his love back to his Lord.
Yeah.
So we need to realize that we're supposed to love people just like you're talking about, not expect anything in return. But when it comes to that relationship with God, it goes back and forth. God loves us and shows us his love.
Yes.
And this is how often we have the opportunity to show our love to God by delighting in his commandments and following his commandments, showing, yes, Lord, it's an honor to follow your commandments because we love you.
Yes. Very good. Very good point. As we do that, we'll get to understand, as you say, and continue to do that, and we can get more understanding. The Lord is going to open our mind to be able to do that, show our love more. Yes.
Just like you said, Wesley, your neighbors
mm-hmm.
are hard to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Like the neighbor that had those big dogs
mm-hmm.
that you never wanted to. What the Lord states now, I guess, you can't tie your dogs up in the yard like you used to. They just can run around and terrorize people and, you know, do whatever. I always had to call the police for these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That man was never at home. But when I would see him the next day, I still would speak to him. I'm okay. I'm okay with you. I just want you to do what you need to do with your dogs. Until it got so bad, he actually moved, because I think that he got a lot of citations.
Uh-huh.
When the dogs really started running around in the neighborhood, I think he got a lot of citations, and then he moved. And the last time that I saw him, he was on the corner with his daughter, and I would speak to him every morning. He would wave, and he would stop and talk, even after your dogs would hear me up in my house. I still would wave at you,
uh-huh.
you know, talk to you, you know, tell you, you know, do something with your dogs, because they scare me. But that last time that I saw him, and I waved at him and everything, he had turned his head. You okay? So you mad? So you should have done what you should have done in the beginning, and we still could have had our neighborly relationship.
Yes.
You know, you caused that relationship.
That's true, but you can't change people. But you do the best
way
you can.
And I was sad about that. I'm like, why James not speak to me? Oh, I know. You know, because I'm the bad person.
Mm.
I'm the one that was always calling, you know, the people. You know, at him, but I talked to him before, but I didn't want our relationship to change because he was nice.
Right.
You know, but people let things that they can't control get in the way of stuff. And I that was kind of sad to me.
Well, anytime you do the right thing, you're going to always be the bad person anyway, you know, in somebody else's eyes.
Isn't
yeah.
there laws about loud noises too, though?
Yes, yes. Yes, well, it is.
We're trying to raise all day long. It don't matter.
We'd be calling the cops, I think, because, you know, how are we supposed to get any sleep?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if they know it's us or not, because we know we're law-abiding
citizens. That's right.
And we're doing the right thing.
Right.
And after a few times, like Charlotte said, they'll hopefully get the idea.
Right.
If they get a little louder, they'll go invent some earplugs during the day. I don't know what to do. But, you know, sometimes we have to stand up for the law as well.
We do.
I'm sure you're not the only one that has to
stand up. Oh, yeah.
That
way. Yeah.
I'm sure you're not.
And like Brian said, we still have to do it in love the best way that we can.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you'll wave at them like you're going to be a neighbor.
We're going to still be wrong as long as we're doing right. You know, but we got the law and we got God on our side.
Right.
Yes.
Right, no, I would say that we have God,
right.
Then
mm-hmm.
the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, Charlotte brought up a good point that in our neighborhood, we are responsible to try to develop a relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We are, as much as they are willing to allow.
Yeah. Right.
But again, we let our light shine.
Right.
Like I mentioned before, yeah. See, we have a responsibility. As Christians, to let our light shine no matter what, no matter where.
Mm-hmm.
Like David did. He wasn't afraid.
Right.
And neither should we be afraid, because we know who's got our back.
Right.
Especially if we prayed about it and say, dear Lord, please help me do the right thing, to say the right thing, to be the right thing. Because that young man who's making that noise may need a mentor, and that may be you.
Mm-hmm.
That may be you. That the man who has enough gumption to go up to that young man and say, listen, we need to have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be all that young with all that knowledge.
They'll
be old.
Well, we know why, too. We know why. Because they did it when they were young.
Yeah.
I mean, the hearing's gone.
Mm-hmm. But that's the example that they've also seen, too. You know, from what they've seen, could be from their parents, could be from other people that they have respect for. You only practice what you learn, you know. So if that's what they see, they figure it's okay, that's what they do. And then in turn, the next younger generation comes behind them will be doing the same thing. So. Mm-hmm.
And so then even if they saw a little glimmer of your light, then that's hopefully a direction they will go to. So, well, this man had enough gumption to come talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't all in his face or anything. He said, listen, young man, let me share something with you. You know, ask God for that wisdom in what to articulate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll only be a few minutes of that, and then hopefully you guys will have, at least you'll know where you stand.
Yes. Okay.
You know, we all get corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all make mistakes.
Right.
So it's how we handle the correction.
Mm-hmm.
Once we are corrected, it belongs to us. Mm-hmm. David was corrected.
Right.
Yes.
He was pricked to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized he was sin. It took a brother of David, a friend of David, to say, look, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Do you not realize you're sinning? But it's how he handled it.
Right.
It's one of the great examples that you were just talking about.
Yes, your actions.
One of the great example of how he handled being corrected in sin.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's our job to correct people, but it's not our responsibility and our job to handle it for them. It's
right.
Our job and their responsibility, how they handle the correction.
Mm-hmm.
The same way as Christians, so it's one of the biggest things that we struggle with is when another brother or sister comes to us and doesn't say, we're doing something maybe we shouldn't be doing, and some of us don't handle it correctly, some of us are like David and say, oh, I've never realized, didn't understand. Like you were talking about last Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Last Sunday. How you handle it.
Yes.
David's an awesome example of that.
And how the person comes to you, your action.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I said the action speaks louder. Yes.
And something to consider is that when God had moved the prophet to go talk to the king, David,
mm-hmm.
about what he's done, Nathaniel had to do that. So the courage, he needed to rely on God. You want me to do what? You want me to tell the king what?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. But nonetheless, God directs, yes, you, mm-hmm. you, I mean, you, Wes, mm-hmm. me, Chuck, I mean, all of us in here who know the word, that you are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that means your neighborhood.
Yes.
That means where you work. That means where you eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
everywhere you, yeah.
You are it. And so, no doubt that I'm thinking, again, put myself in the painter's shoes. You want me, dear Lord, you want me to do what? And so you could. I guess I could understand that he may have been apprehensive. We never know. But we do know that he did carry out God's provisions, and he did go and tell him, this is what God says. And that's what we need to say.
What God says.
This is what God says.
Not what I say.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Not unless it comes to broccoli. artichoke. Who would ever name a vegetable with choke in it? Come on.
I don't eat that, so I'm not going to be in that conversation. But yes, that goes back to what we just been saying, too, about the faith that you have in God, to know that God got your back. So you be bold enough to go forward and express your emotions, your thoughts, and telling them what God said the best way that you can, and know that God's got you covered. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have no fear of consequences of what's going to happen to you. Yes?
I was just going to say that if you look at David and his relationship with God, you can tell that it was a very intimate, very strong relationship that he had with him from childhood on, and kept this all through his life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he sinned, but he had confidence in God that he would forgive him, and that he also was willing to take whatever God decided would be for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, when he got married the woman and had a child, and the child was dying.
Mm-hmm.
David mourned and prayed for this child, and but as soon as the child passed away, he got up and did what he had to, but because he accepted the judgment of God.
Right.
I think sometimes we give up on God. It's not that God ever gives up on us.
Right.
We give up on him. We think whatever we did is just so bad, he can never forgive us for this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the confidence that David had in God.
That's why we, as time goes on, each thing that happens, each event is supposed to help build our faith.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't just come overnight. It doesn't just happen. It just don't come out of the blue and you just, oh, I got it. You know, as things go on, we get confidence from the experiences that we go through with God, and we can see, oh yeah, he got us. So that builds our confidence and our trust. Oh, some answer, yes.
I want to say what you're saying is absolutely right. We need to make sure we are living our lives in such a way that we are willing to be humble
mm-hmm.
at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know who's watching you.
Yes.
And you got to keep your mind and your eyes on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is watching everything we do.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
All these murders and killings that these young folks ain't getting gotten with. Mm-hmm. God sees it all.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah. Yeah, he will.
And then he'll pay some of it before you leave. Before they leave you.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
But we must be a lot like David,
mm-hmm.
but mostly like Christ.
Yes.
Because he's the one who set the example
mm-hmm.
when he came down to this earth to
do his Father's will.
Yeah, do God's will
mm-hmm.
and teach.
Yeah.
And he was the greatest teacher ever.
Yes, he was and still is.
Yes.
And still is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good point. Okay, so as we move on, another characteristic that David had, he meditated on God's statues.
Yes.
Now, we can look at Psalms again, 119, and verses 1 and 2. We're still in Psalms 119, verses 1 and 2. Anybody has that?
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Lord. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who keep him. Who seek him with the whole heart.
Mm-hmm. We can't just look at it as I can't think exactly what scripture it is, but it says of a man that looks at his reflection in the mirror and he turns away and forgets what he saw. We have to continue to reflect on what God's statutes are and try to live by it each day in order to make that be a part of us. When you do these things, people will see, they will see something in you, you know, and depending on how close they are to you, whatever kind of life you lived beforehand, before you accepted Christ. When you accept Christ, people should be able to, and you're living in His way. I mean, let me make sure I clarify that. Accepting Christ is one thing, but living in His ways is another thing. But as the author describes here, meditating on God's statutes. Meditating on His statutes means you're trying to pattern your life behind what God says and what He wants you to do. If you're doing that, you're going to stand out. You're going to be noticed. You don't have to walk, as Bab also said, the Lord hates a proud look. You don't have to have a proud look. You're going to have a look of God anyway. And people will be able to tell that anywhere you go. You know, they will tell what type of person you are, whether you are a God-fearing person or whether you are just another guy in the street, you know, because of your action and the way you carry yourself. And that doesn't mean you have to walk around in a three-piece suit every day, on a top hat, or whether you walk around in bib overhauls every day and brogans on your feet. It's still your character and how you act, how you carry yourself, and what you do, your action will speak volumes more so than whatever you say out of your mouth. Okay, I got a couple of hands. Bryant, you first.
This dedication is not half-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
So often, that's our biggest struggle. Even looking around in the church today, everybody's taking a half-hearted approach to God and to His Word. It's all your heart. If you're fully committed, you can't help but people can see that you're fully committed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fully committed, use football for example. They'll show off their favorite team and talk great about their favorite team, and everybody knows who's a Dallas fan, who's a Washington fan, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But out in the world, how many knows that we're Christians when we leave this room?
Yes.
At work, or at the grocery store, or wherever we're at, it should shine that, hey, he's a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Because we're giving it with all our heart. Every aspect of our life should be so that we can't do this half-heartedly.
Yes. Good point. John?
The scripture you were referring to is James 1:23, where it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer,
mm-hmm.
he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror.
Yes. Thank you.
And another aspect of letting our light shine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but think, and I would want to encourage all of us, that one of the greatest attributes we've been blessed with is the knowledge of what the Lord has promised unto all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And also we know through the Holy Scripture what He's done for us, and that how good He is in every conceivable way that our limited imagination will allow us. And in that, and through continual study, wholeheartedly, without a hesitation or reservation, without a hidden agenda on our part,
mm-hmm.
we can't help, I would think, but exuberate, emanate, illuminate wondrous joy. Wondrous, fulfilling, heartfelt joy. And you would see that in the way, like you were saying earlier, how they conduct themselves.
Yeah.
How they walk, how they talk, how they act. It's because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the knowledge of God. They know who our Father is.
Mm-hmm.
And we anticipate with great joy and expectation that day when we get to see Him, our Creator, face to face.
Yeah. And that day is coming.
It is, every day.
Yes.
Closer, brother.
Yes.
Closer.
Yeah.
But again, when we conduct ourselves like the regular Joe, as you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
shame on you. So we have every gift that God can provide, and we know it.
Yes.
We know it. And therefore, we should be the happiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should be the most joyful, the most positive,
mm-hmm.
the most encouraging, the most loving, the most patient. All of that because we know who God is.
Yeah. We let the world kind of snuff out our light because of fear of being ridiculed. But that's the whole point of why we took up the cross. You know, we were going to be ridiculed. And it gives us the opportunity to let our light shine and to tell that story. And no greater story can we tell than our own, what the Lord done for you. Yes.
No, we're told in the Bible that we are to be set apart, to be different when we're out in the world. But how much are we really live our daily lives in the world to where we are set apart, or are we just kind of blending in?
Yeah.
And we need, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves that question.
Okay.
Am mm-hmm. I acting different in the world than everybody else? You know, am I that loving? Am I that compassionate? Or am I just kind of blending in with the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
So, and David, you could tell with David, he was a part. I mean, everything he did, he gave glory to God for
yes.
what he did. He respected all of God's statures.
Mm-hmm.
Are we like that? I don't know. For me, I have still a lot to learn.
Well, we are working on that, you know, but it's always room for improvement. But that's why we're in class, to learn more about how we can go about it. And that's a good point, what you're saying. To be bold enough to somebody gives you compliment, you give that credit to God. To speak out, that's one way in which you incorporate into your conversation. And people fear saying something because they say, I don't know what to say. I don't know the scriptures. Number one, it's your responsibility to read, to learn the scriptures, not that you got to memorize every book, chapter, and verse. But I like this when a time passed when I used to do a Sunday school lesson for kids. One of the things, if you know what you're talking about and you're telling your story and you're referring to the Bible, you don't have to necessarily know book, chapter, and verse.
Exactly.
When you tell them and you say it's in there, and if they're that interested in actually, where is it? You can say, I'll find it and I'll get back to you. Now, they may take it as, okay, the conversation's over. When you come back with them, to them, and you give them that book, chapter, and verse of where it was found, you will let them know that you were serious about what you said. You also put the ball in their court because now it's up to them to go and look and see, is that really what it says? And you are opening up the door for another conversation. So you don't have to know so much or be so knowledgeable as to know book, chapter, and verse from one end of the cover to the other. But as long as you know what you're talking about, just like Chuck found that scripture because he knew what I was talking about. He knew where to find it at. And so, you know, that's just a typical example. As long as you know, but you can't go and say, well, the Lord did so and so and so or something like that. That is not what Christ said, you know. And if you don't know, don't be ashamed to say you don't know. Say, I can't tell you right now, but I can get it and find it and tell you about it later. and keep your word and do, you are spreading the gospel. Very simply, you are spreading the gospel. So, I mean, it's easy.
It yes. doesn't even sometimes need book verse or scriptures from the Bible. Just dedicate a day and the people you interact with and just bless their day.
Mm-hmm.
And watch what you get back.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I used to always say, you have a good day or whatever. Now I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you have a blessed day.
Yes.
Because by that, you already show that you are, first of all, different, that you are God's child.
Mm-hmm.
And you blessing somebody else with that. People automatically know you're a Christian. They know that you're trying to follow God's ways, and they know that you care for your fellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
When we came back from Colorado, we stopped in a restaurant to eat, and people, everybody in there were just a bunch of grumps because flights were delayed, things weren't going the way they were, and a lot of them left it out on the waiters.
Mm-hmm.
When we left, and I didn't even think anything about it, as we left, I told the waiter, I said, you have a very blessed day. And he turned around and said to one of his fellow followers of service, this lady just made my day because she blessed my day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes, yes. To show a little compassion and let them know, I'm a child of God, and I want you to reach out to the Lord yourself, you know.
Yes.
He will bless your day. And it makes the world a difference.
Yes, it does. It's uplifting one another.
Yeah.
And that encourages, it gives other person encouragement to know that they're struggling. And hey, there's somebody else out here struggling like me, you know, another Christian. Okay, very quickly, one more thing. Well, actually, it's two, but I'm going to cover them real quickly. One other thing was that David was truly thankful for everything that the Lord did. In Psalms chapter 26, verse 6 and 7, he says, I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. When the Lord saw how thankful David was for the way he was showing his thankfulness and saying it aloud, not just saying, I'm thankful, Lord, thank you, Lord, as he proclaimed himself that he would tell everybody about the Lord we come in contact with, and showing and living in the way in which he lived and how he believed in the Lord. Of course, the Lord prospered him with that. Yes.
That was
Psalms what? Psalms 26, verses 6 and 7. The Lord prospered him for what he was doing. And he had rough times in his life, and he had some highs and some lows. But he still was thankful for everything that the Lord was doing for him. Also in Psalms 100, verse number 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. We can call on the Lord when we get in dire straits. But when he delivers us, how often do we say thank you, Lord, after he's brought us through? The Lord is looking for that thanks, just like we would be looking for thanks if we were to help someone. And I for one know, it's just so much as, I'm always talking about driving because that's my pet peeve, but when you get somebody a brick and you let them go, especially if traffic is heavy, and you let a person out, and I always say, they ain't even said thank you. You know, but some people do. But some, you know, you just, yeah, if they give them just an inch, they're going to book out their way anyway. But still, same way, the point I'm bringing out is the fact that the Lord looks for your thankfulness just like we look for thankfulness. So we should tell him that we are thankful as well as show it in each day when he blesses us. And last but not least, as you have brought up many times, David was truly repentant. Mm-hmm. When we sin and we know we sin, admit it. And then ask for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness without admitting it is just like, oh, forgive me for what I did. You know, like little children, they do something one to another, and you tell them, say you're sorry, I'm sorry. And you don't really mean it, you know, but they say it. You know, but you have to admit to the Lord that you made a mistake, and then ask him for forgiveness. And that's what saved David. The fact of, as you said, his repentant heart, as serious as that sin was that he committed, the serious as that sin was, to still ask for repentance and mean it and admit that what he did was what saved him. Yes.
I was going to say, and be thankful to the Lord for those that will point out to you when you did something wrong.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people don't appreciate it when somebody points it out. I'm appreciative of it. If you ever see me do something wrong or say something wrong, I'd appreciate it if you would tell me. Because a lot of times we do or say things that we don't even realize what's wrong.
Yes.
So draw my attention to it so that I can go to God and ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
Yes. David was a person that heeded the warning of Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan went to him. Told him about the man with the sheep that he rose up from a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted. And David said, you the man.
Yes.
You the man. And if you the man, if you the man, that's why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he realized he sinned.
Yeah. Well, he knew he sinned.
He said, nah. It really came to
him. Right. It cut him.
Came to heart.
And he thought nobody else knew about it.
Yeah.
He thought he got away. That's
all
right.
All.
Yes. Yes.
Took the man's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Had the man's wife. Had the man here. And Uriah here.
Yeah.
He ought to be ashamed of himself.
And he was.
Because God fixed all that.
Oh, yeah.
He just lost.
And it just, he still suffered behind that for some years to come after that. Yeah.
It was a household.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, we'll never leave you out there.
Yeah. So he paid. Yeah, he paid. He paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Any more comments? Okay, so that's my lesson for this morning. And hopefully we learn something to help us in our everyday struggle to do God's will. Thank you all for your good comments.
Thank you.